Welcome to
House of Whimsical Terror.
I'm Esther.
I'm Mary.
And we're coming to you from Tucson, Arizona.
And we're telling real stories of the fantastical.
All of our stories are true or told to us as true. And sometimes our stories have language that some folks would find offensive.
Objectionable.
Yes. If you don't like the four-letter words,
and
then
such.
And such, then now would be a good time to not listen to this particular episode. We
Correct.
Like it. It's spiced with lots of language.
It is.
And we're for it.
We are.
So if you are not for it, we respect that 100%. And
please enjoy a different episode.
Yes, we have so many
others. That's right. Occasionally, we alter names to protect privacy.
And we do the same with some of the places. Today's story is astral projection or death.
Yeah.
And we have a really, really special guest.
We do.
This guest is a very good storyteller. And mm-hmm. I've heard this story before, and I've been begging Quinn to tell this story on the mm-hmm. podcast. And she finally relented. So we have Quinn Adams, and Quinn, welcome to the podcast.
Yes, thank you.
Thank
Yay,
you.
Finally.
Yay.
Finally. Yay.
Okay. So, it's an old story from a different life, a very different life.
Oh, and we have our little dog here.
Yeah.
He's mm-hmm. going to be, not the Doberman, different dog.
Different dog.
Our little Rez dog.
Oh, yeah, dog.
Yeah, okay. He's a little whiny, but he's okay. yeah, so in a different life, I had this experience, and it took place. I always feel like a disclosure from Designing Women that says, during my unfortunate incarceration, I had this experience. It's just where it happened, and I can't really tell the story without saying that. Mm-hmm. So I lived in a dorm during this time in band camp. And,
or your unfortunate incarceration.
And it was half walls. So you could peek over the wall and see your neighbor. And there was about 50, 80, I don't even remember, people in cubicles, in single cubicles. So because you could see over the wall, you could see what everybody was doing. And before lights out, I was walking down the hallway. So I saw where people were at. You know, somebody was lying on their bed with their headphones on, watching television. Because in dorm living, you must wear headphones. And I went to bed. Because, you know, I was very compliant with my life in that kind of a structure. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't sleep, or I felt like I needed to go to the bathroom, rather. And I was dreaming about that. And I thought, oh, if you have that dream, you're going to pee in the bed. So I made myself get up and go to the bathroom. And as I was walking towards the bathroom, I peeked into the cubicles that I had just recently peeked into, only it was later. And back then, you could only watch television to a certain time. Mm-hmm. And it would turn into static after a national anthem or something or another. Mm-hmm. So I saw what I saw before going to bed, that one person with their headphones, only the television wasn't on anymore. It was that after hours thing. And all the people that were sleeping in their assigned locations were sleeping in their assigned locations. Yeah. So, you know, I walked towards what is a cage. And in that cage, there are two officers. In that cage, as I'm walking through, they turned around and they looked at me. And, you know, I responded, but they did not respond back, although they looked dead at me. So I continued to walk, and walking towards the bathroom, I felt like I was dreaming or sleepwalking. I didn't feel quite right. Mm-hmm. And when I got to the bathroom, which is a little ways behind what we call the cop shop, was a big, bright light where the bathroom should have been.
Interesting. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that was a little frightening, and I thought, I don't know what's happening. I'm sleepwalking. I'm not sure what's going on. And so coming back, I told the cops, what's going on? I mean, why are you guys both here? And again, they looked at me, but nobody answered. So I took my stroll back down the hallway, and I saw all the same things that I saw, you know, few minutes ago, you know, with everybody sleeping in the positions that I just seen them in. And my cubicle was way in the back. So when I get to my cubicle, I turn into it, and my body is still in my bed.
Oh, whoa. So weird. So weird.
It was really weird. So I didn't know what to think of that. I thought, my first thought was I died. I just died, right? So that was my first thought, and I panicked. I freaked out. And I said, you can't die because you'll never get out of prison. I wanted to get out of prison. You know, not that way. That was just my first thought. So I'm not sure what to do. I am moving my body, and my body's not responding. From outside of my body, I'm moving my body, and it's not responding.
Wow.
So I don't know what I'm thinking, and I just said, you know what? I'm just going to lay in my body. So I laid down. I didn't know that I was actually in my body, except that I laid down, and I was in my body, and I started to beat myself up, thinking I'm going to wake myself up from the inside.
Oh, interesting.
Right. Wow. So who knows what I was really, I mean, what I look like to other people. Mm-hmm. But I woke up finally, and a person catty-corner from me also woke up and said, "Bud, what are you doing?" What's all that racket? And I said, I don't know what the fuck just happened. But something weird just happened. And I said, I don't know what's going on, but you are up, you're awake, you're talking to me, right? You see me. And she's like, what the hell is wrong with you? And I said, I need to go to the bathroom, man. Where are you going? She goes to the bathroom. And I said, good, go with me. So we take, I take my third walk down there, her first walk, and we get to the same two cops that are still standing there, and they're like, what are you guys doing? Now they responded, and I said, we're going to the bathroom. Hurry up. And we went to the bathroom, and I'm rambling. You know, all this stuff that just happened. I can't believe this just happened. I might have died. I think I died. I felt like I died. And half asleep, she's like, but that's like a crazy story. You know, I just heard a bunch of noise. I don't know what's going on over there, but try to get some sleep. So we went back, and again, I saw all the same things that I saw during my sleepwalking episode outside of my body, and got back to my cubicle and was very thankful that it was empty. Because I wasn't sure. I was freaking out still, totally. And I went back to bed. You know, the next day I went to Indian Dusty. And I told her the story because we're kind of tight. We're very tight, actually. And I said to Dusty, what had happened? And Dusty's like, you astral projected. You could have gone anywhere in the world. And I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere in the world. I don't want to go anywhere without my body. Yeah, that felt really weird. And she's like, people practice forever to be able to do that. And I'm like, I don't like the way that feels, and I hope it never happens again. And a few months later, I'm in maximum security, which is not a dorm, but a cell. And in my cell, in the middle of the night, I hear loud crashes, loud noises, like machinery. And I woke up and I said, what the hell's going on? But that's usually when they do like big maintenance things outside. So I went and I peeked through my little tiny window. And yeah, that's what was going on. There was people with jackhammers and they were tearing up the concrete. And I'm like, how's anybody supposed to sleep in this place? But when I turned around, because it's small, I mean, it's so small that if I stand up, my roommate has to sit down. But
wow.
And my roommate was in bed. But when I turned around, my body was back in my bed again.
Whoa. And it happened again.
That was my thought. It happened again. I wasn't quite as afraid, but I don't like it. Feels really weird to be out of your body. But I didn't feel like I had died that time either, because I had a little bit more information. But I don't like being outside of my body. It's just not a good feeling.
Such a funny thing to say. I don't like being outside of my body.
Right? Especially just, unintentional.
Yeah.
Both times unintentional. Yeah. And so, you know, I climbed back up into my bunk, because grown women sleep in bunk beds there. And yeah, and I laid back in my body and I woke up and I thought about, for the first time, you know, the practice of astral projection and how to do that, you know. And
with intention.
With intention, yeah. And I read a lot about it, but I always remember the book from the Vampire Chronicles. One of those books.
The Body Thief.
It's called The Body Thief.
Yeah.
Where Lestat trades body with the person.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to return it. I don't have any superpowers or anything like that, so I don't know why anybody would want to invade my space and my soul. It's a very heavy place to live. However, yeah. I don't think I would.
So you chose not to pursue it as an intentional practice.
Yeah, because I'm afraid that something else could occupy your body.
Right. Wow, that's so creepy and not something I really thought about till you said that.
Well, in the Body Thief, they actually can't do it because there's like a string or some kind of cord that keeps you attached. I mean, that, you know, in the book.
Fictional book.
But you didn't experience that, though.
No, I didn't feel a string. I didn't feel an attachment.
Wow. You felt totally separate.
I felt totally abandoned.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then you had to, really force your way back in and wake yourself back up.
That is a remarkable story.
Yeah, that is. That is.
But, you know, fear is such a big thing for me, you know, and I don't challenge my fear as certainly not. Then, you know, I don't know if I'd be more inclined to the practice today, since it seems like my soul wants to leave my body.
And managed to stay in it all these decades. Since then.
Back in the, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it hasn't happened since then, right,
Quinn? It's never happened again.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Interesting. Yeah. And that white light you saw, like, that's how people describe, like, you know, when they have near-death experiences. Seeing a white light that calls them. So, yeah, I wonder if you had maybe been on the brink of death.
I may have.
Wow. And the second time it happened, like, you got up and you looked out that window, turned around, got back into your body. Did you get up when you were in your body and see if it looked the same?
No, I went back to sleep, but in the morning when I woke up and they opened the doors, there was definitely, you know, yellow tape where they'd been digging. I mean, these things actually did happen. I wasn't dreaming in either.
No, you saw them in your astral body. That's amazing.
It is.
That's really cool.
Yeah, but the idea of leaving is like, no, I think I'll wait for my parole board.
You don't want to die in there.
And you didn't, which I'm very grateful for.
I don't know if it was death. That's why I say death or astral projection. I'm still not certain. But I do know, I do believe in the practice of astral projection, and I do believe it's a, you know, it's something people need to practice. I don't think it just happens.
It did for you, though, which is pretty amazing. And I wonder if, you know, your friend in there, Dusty, who, you know, said that's what you did. I wonder if it's like a, some sort of a, I don't know, a skill you have in your spirit or from your, you know,
well, Dusty is an actual healer. You know, she's, she is Hopi and, you know, believes in shifters and stuff of that sort. And, you know, medicine people. And as a practice, she believes that we all have these special gifts. And I know I come from a family where there are healers. My grandmother, you know, the native part of my family definitely have magic that they practice. Good magic. I mean, it's not bad magic, I don't think. But they're all about the magic in their healing processes. So, I mean, I don't disbelieve it, but that's a pretty big power to have. Even for a native person to be a shapeshifter, to be able to, you know, become anything else. If I don't know. I don't know how far I would even think.
Yeah, and if you don't know, really know why you're doing that, then it probably was your instinct to just say, no, this is not what I should be doing right now, so... Wow, Quinn Adams, you're amazing.
Thank you.
And thank you for finally telling that story. I've never heard it with, like, you know, we made this big disclaimer about that language, and she's like, I'm going to.
It was a little more sanitized than I expected.
So sanitized. Still.
But that's okay.
Equally as wonderful. So.
That's right. So, I would like to thank our listeners for joining us, and please come back and listen to more stories and share them with your friends. And but for now, so long, good friends. Until next time, when we meet back at the house.